Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, everybody. It is Saturday, April 20th. Yes, welcome to the High Risk Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, Jeremy Pearson. First things first, check out the socials, Charismatic Creations on Facebook and YouTube, Charismatic underscore Creations 52 on Instagram, and of course, the 215 on Twitter. And of course, today's show, well, we're doing the AEW Dynasty preview, look at the matches, make our predictions. So this will be a different show. This is one of the rare times where we don't have a superstar spotlight on episode list. We're just going to get right into the preview of the show. So hit my music. All right, we have AEW Dynasty, the first AEW Dynasty. And AEW, like I said in a previous show, they have announced all of their pay-per-views for the rest of the year. Just to read it, we've already had Revolution, we've got Dynasty, All In, All Out, Full Gear, Forbidden Door, and Wrestle Dream. I'm probably missing one more, but we have Dynasty today to go over. So let's start with the pre-show, 0 hour as it's called. We have three matches on the card. First, we have Trent Beretta versus Matt Sydal. Now, this stems from Trent's possible heel turn, and essentially what's going on is he's stopping people from helping Orange Cassidy. And last week on Dynamite, as Orange Cassidy was getting jumped by Shane Taylor Promotions, Matt Sydal came to help out and Trent Beretta stopped him. So here we are. We have this match. This is one of the few matches on the card which has a very, very obvious winner, and that would be Trent Beretta. Matt Sydal is here to do the job and to make Trent look good. And that's not to say that Trent needs to be made look good. Trent's a very capable individual in the ring. But Trent Beretta is walking out of this match as your winner. Then we have on 0 hour part two of our Orange Cassidy story. Orange Cassidy will once again be teaming with Katsuyori Shibata to take on Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty. And here's the thing. When this match originally got announced, I was like, Orange Cassidy and Shibata are going to win because Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty always lose their matches. They look great in the matches and they always lose them. Even when they recently just added Anthony Ogogo, they still have been losing matches. They won one tag match though, which I give them credit for, but other than that, Shane and Lee lose matches. Well, I thought Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty were going to lose, but with Trent being there to strike, maybe he causes Orange Cassidy and Shibata to lose. And my head says, Jeremy, that's stupid. Why would Shibata and Cassidy lose? But they've already lost once as a tag team, and that was recent. So I am actually going to go with Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty to win this match with the help of Trent Beretta. I feel slightly confident in that. So yeah, I'm gonna run with that. And lastly, on the pre-show, a match that we knew was going to happen, even though I think this match should be on the main card, and if you couldn't get on the main card, make it the main event of a Dynamite. Or hell, you know what this match could have been? This match could have been the main event of a Battle of the Belts. Seriously, because Battle of the Belts means absolutely nothing. But the match we're talking about, referring to, is the Acclaimed versus the Bullet Club Gold in a unification match for the Ring of Honor and the AEW Trios Championships. The Acclaimed and Daddy Ass are the AEW Trios Champions, and the Bullet Club Gold, I keep saying the Bullet Club Gold, Bullet Club Gold are the Ring of Honor Trios Champions. And we figured for the longest that there was going to be unification match, just because even though Ring of Honor has trios teams, they don't have enough trios teams to justify having their own trios championship. But if you can use AEWs and move them back and forth, then you've got it. So how does this match come about? How did it come about? Well, essentially both teams were taken out by the Undisputed Kingdom. And they, you know, figure, hey, let's put our differences aside and come together to take them out. That actually never happened. They actually never went against the Undisputed Kingdom. Not once. Because there was so much infighting and you knew it was going to implode. Max Caster was messing up his raps. So here we have it. After a couple of times teaming together, Bullet Club Gold turned on the Acclaimed and Daddy S and just beat them down. Then they invaded Billy Gunn's house. And here we are with this match. Originally, when the unification was going to happen, I was like, okay, Acclaimed and Daddy S are going to win. They're going to take these titles. But they don't really need the belts. And part of me thinks Juice Robinson is going to return to help his boys claim the belt. So I am actually going to go with Bullet Club Gold to win and unify both championships. This is a good way to keep Jay White on TV and essentially move them up the card, and the Acclaimed can go chasing the belts, win the belts back, and then we can move Jay White into the main event scene. But that is 0 hour, so let's get into the main card. So, the main card has 9 matches, and I am very surprised that Tony Khan stopped himself from adding another match here. But I really do like the card. For the first ever Dynasty, the card looks fantastic. I do say so myself. So let's get into the first match. We have Roderick Strong defending the International Championship against his, I guess, former friend right now, Kyle O'Reilly. And the first question we always ask is, how did we get here? So Kyle O'Reilly was out with an injury. It was his neck. And he finally made his comeback, and he had a couple good matches. Challenged Rocky Romero, like, yo, I respect you, you know, you're great here, let's dance. And they're like, all right, yeah, we'll do it. They had a match. Rocky ended up facing Roddy on Battle of the Belts. I think it was an eliminator match at that. It wasn't even for the championship. So they, for weeks, the Kingdom have been coming to Kyle O'Reilly saying, yo, welcome back. You know, you got a spot here if you want it. And Kyle's like, nah, I'm good. I'm gonna roll solo. Gotta do this on my own. All right, we respect that. So after the eliminator match on Battle of the Belts, they attacked Rocky Romero, and Kyle was like, nah, what, like, come on, let's you know, y'all ain't gotta do this. And then out of nowhere, Roddy just kneed Kyle O'Reilly right in his jaw. And here we are, two friends going at it. Bobby Fish, don't you wish you would have just stayed? You could be right here of the Undisputed Kingdom. But I digress. The match itself is going to be good. It's good that Kyle O'Reilly's got his legs back under him, and he's got this hunger in his eyes that I haven't seen before. And I think that that's what happens when you have a career, almost a career ending injury. As for Roderick Strong, he just got the international championship from Orange Cassidy. I don't see him losing this at all. Expect Roderick Strong to win, but it won't even be clean. I definitely can see the Kingdom, Matt Taven and Mike Bennett, being there as well to help Roderick Strong when Kyle O'Reilly ultimately gets the upper hand. But take Roderick Strong to win this match. Next up, we have Hook versus Chris Jericho for the FTW Championship, with Hook defending against Jericho. And heel Jericho is back. Guy's just a master. I know he's in the doghouse right now when it comes to wrestling fans, but as we know, like the rarefied air of Jericho and the Jericho Vortex and so on and so forth, he's trying to bring Hook under the learning tree. And Hook's like, nah, I'm going to just do this on my own. And after they lost that six-man match, right, Hook was pissed at Jericho, left. This is after they had showed some respect to each other, and Jericho went to Taz like, yo, can you talk to your son, Brooke or Amina? Taz, I'll see what I can do. So on Dynamite, right, they're in the ring, they're talking, Taz is, you know, mediating. And, you know, Taz is retired from combat. I have not seen Taz put anyone in a Taz mission in a very long time. That's how retired he is. And Hook's telling Jericho, no, I'm good. And you got to bring my pops in this. And Jericho pushes Taz, and Taz falls down. That was enough for Hook to get into Jericho's face. He's like, oh, you want me? You got me. FTW Championship Dynasty. And I'm curious to see where this is going to go. They have kept the momentum up on Hook after not only getting the FTW Championship back, but his little mini feud with Samoa Joe. They have kept the momentum going, and that is the most important thing. I do not see Hook losing this match. What I see happening is Hook winning and Jericho still coming and not learning his lesson. This being for the FTW Championship under FTW rules ultimately helps Jericho, where he doesn't have to wrestle a straight up match. So take Hook to win this match and to retain the FTW Championship. Next up, we have a six-man tag match with the teams of Adam Copeland, Mark Briscoe, and Eddie Kingston taking on the House of Black. And this started because, well, Malakai Black wants the TNT Championship of Adam Copeland. We're leading up to that. But Mark Briscoe already has beef with the House of Black, stemming back for months and months and months. Looking at these teams, right, it's going to be a good match. You have a team of champions. Adam Copeland is the TNT champion. Mark Briscoe is the Ring of Honor World Champion. And Eddie Kingston is the New Japan Strong champion. House of Black, I believe they'll have the edge here. No pun intended. And at some point, right, I could see the show being really heel heavy. That being said, I don't think the faces are going to win. I think we can probably drag this out just a little bit more. And the match itself is going to be good because it can lead to, honestly, what it really could lead to is all three of the faces defending their championships. Adam Copeland versus Malakai Black for the TNT. Mark Briscoe versus Buddy Murphy for the Ring of Honor. And Eddie Kingston versus Brody King for the New Japan Strong. That would be so good to come out of this. So I'm going to take the House of Black to win this match. It just seems appropriate as a way to continue this feud, because I don't think it's over between these six men at all. Next up, we have Kazuchika Okada defending the Continental Championship versus Pac. And this started because Pac just came back and was like, yo, I'm here to cause trouble. I want to fight Okada. What's up? That's what it boils down to, right? And Pac gets his wish. Now, for the Continental Championship, I don't like. The rules when a Continental Championship match or when a title's on the line is that there could be no interference. It's a one-on-one match, just like in a Continental Champion Crown tournament. I love Pac. Okada's not winning. Is not losing his first pay-per-view match. It just isn't happening. He will lose the title at some point, because I don't even think holding the championship guarantees you a spot in next year's C2, the next C2. But Okada's not losing his first pay-per-view match. I just don't see it happening. This is going to be good. This is actually going to be one of the longer matches on the card, because it's Okada. He's got to have a long match, but it's going to be fun, and you're going to be scared for Okada's life, because Pac is a bastard. Next up, we have Julia Hart defending the TBS Championship versus Willow Nightingale. This will be contested under house rules, which means the challenger gets to come up with one stipulation for the match. We don't know what that stipulation is just yet. And when this match was announced, when Willow won that number one contenders match, I immediately was like, okay, Willow's winning. Willow's going to win and move on to a feud with Mercedes Moné. But there have been some moving parts here. Specifically, both Willow and Mercedes have been attacked in back-to-back weeks. Mercedes was attacked, and we don't know who did it. We think it was Julia Hart, but when you pay attention, Chris and Stoke were outside of Mercedes' locker room. And then Willow was attacked before her mixed tag match, and we don't know who that was. Now, would Tony be bold enough, Tony Khan, would he be bold enough to turn Chris Statlander and Stokely heel? Like, there's a lot of moving parts here for this TBS championship. Like, maybe it was Joy that attacked Mercedes. Maybe it was Joy that attacked Willow. Maybe it was Chris that attacked Mercedes. Maybe it was Chris that attacked Willow. Chris turns heel and says, you know, Willow, you're taking my spot for this championship. Like, there's a lot of intrigue here. So I'm very curious to see where they're going to go here. As for the match itself, it's going to be good. It won't be a top quality match like we've seen Willow have, just because I think Julia Hart is not there just yet. But she's going to do enough to make this match good. As for the winner, all of that being said, there could be interference from Mercedes, interference from Chris. Like, we don't even know what the stipulation is. I just think Willow is winning this match. I think Willow is winning this match and moving into a feud with Mercedes Moné for the TBS Championship. The thing is, Mercedes has already called next. Like, she wants the TBS Championship. But I am taking my baby Willow to win, no bias. But there's a lot going down between these four women, so keep your ears to that. Next up, we have FTR versus the Young Bucks in a ladder match for the vacant AEW World Tag Team Championships. Now, the titles are vacant because Sting and Darby Allin are champions, and after Sting retired, Darby City's not defending this without Sting. Vacated championship. I have no problem with that at all. And this is FTR, Young Bucks, I think four. It's going to be a great match. And now that it's a ladder match, it's going to be an even greater match. This is just tag team wrestling. It's fine. Do I need to really go over the story between FTR and the Young Bucks? Like, they've already had a great trilogy. We've involved the brawl in the footage as a good excuse. Like, this is just built in greatness right here. The Young Bucks are winning this match. They're going to use their EVP power to win this match, and the Elite are going to leave Dynasty with gold. And it sucks that FTR is going to lose, but the faces are always better chasing than holding. The Young Bucks are winning this match. I'm praying for everyone's safety here. This is going to be good. Next up, we have a dream match. Another dream match, because that's all Bryan Danielson wants to be doing right now is nothing but dream matches. Bryan Danielson versus Will Ospreay. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. This is just to prove who's the best in the world. That's it. Danielson is on his like little mini retirement tour. He just wants to face people. Now, the BCC have started up a feud with the Don Callis family, so Fletcher, Takeshita, and Powerhouse Hobbs will be, you know, involved. Mox will be there. Cesaro will be there. I'm waiting for Wheeler Yuta to come back, because he is currently injured. This is tough to pick. The match itself is going to be a 7-star match in the Tokyo Dome quality. It's just going to be that good. These two are incapable of having a bad match. But here's the thing. Danielson doesn't win on pay-per-view. I don't know what it is. He doesn't win. And Ospreay is the new shiny So he has just been racking up wins left and right. He is still a part of the Don Collins family, but that might be coming to an end. Essentially, once Mark Davis is healthy, Kyle Fletcher will be leaving the Don Collins family, and Aussie Open will be joining Will Ospreay to reform United Empire. It's going to happen. Like, I need this team back. Ospreay's been winning so many matches, and Daniels has been winning matches too. I just, like, in my heart of hearts, I want Danielson to win. He needs to get a big W, but my head says pick Ospreay. I can't do that right now. I'm going to go with Brian Danielson winning this match. And it's enough to put a chip on Ospreay's shoulder to maybe give us a second match between these two. But I'm taking Danielson to win this. I am 50-50 on this one. Next up, we have the AEW Women's World Championship as Timeless Toni Storm will be defending against Thunder Rosa. And just like the TBS Championship, there are a lot of moving parts when it comes to the women. So besides Toni Storm and Thunder Rosa, we still have in the background Mariah May, Anna Jay, Azamine, and Mina Shirakawa. That's four other women involved in this feud. And it's a matter of where are we branching off to. So if we look towards the future, right, we're clearly going to do we're clearly going for Toni Storm versus Mina Shirakawa at Forbidden Door, right? Would that be for the women's championship? Like, Stardom are now starting to show up on AEW television. Azamine's got some beef. Anna Jay's got some beef. And Deonna Purrazzo all has beef with Mariah May. Deonna already got OW. But now Deonna's got some beef with Thunder Rosa. And Thunder Rosa, remember y'all, never lost a championship. Never lost a championship. Do I think she's getting it back? That is tough. Because Toni Storm is really good right now. And I feel like at some point we've got to move into Toni versus Mariah May. They're clearly doing the All About Eve storyline movie in the storyline. As much as I love Thunder Rosa and I want her to be champion again, I think Toni Storm is winning this match. There's just too many moving parts to immediately just put the championship on Thunder Rosa, and it sucks because she should be champion, but there's just a lot going on. The match is going to be really, really good. Tony's best match since becoming champion has been against Azamine. That was on Collision a week ago, and I'm trying to figure out if Thunder Rosa still has any ring rust left, but Thunder can match Toni in both power and skill and speed. So it's a fairly even matchup. So the question is, how does Toni win? And it's probably with the help of Mariah May and or Luther, because I don't think Deonna Purrazzo is going to be there to help Thunder Rosa, Norwa, Azamine, or Anna Jay. And Tony's going to start getting jealous of the relationship between Mina Shirakawa and Mariah May. There's just a lot of moving parts here where I think Toni Storm is going to win. And lastly, our main event, Samoa Joe defending the AEW World Championship against Swerve Strickland. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is the one match that I am 100% confident in the outcome. Swerve Strickland is walking away your AEW World Champion. I just feel it in my bones. The time is right. This is the moment. Joe has been a serviceable and honorable champion, being the badass that he is, but it is now time for Swerve to take over. We haven't been doing all of this for a year just to have Swerve lose the one-on-one match. you have to put the title on Swerve. You just have to put the title on Swerve. You have to capitalize on the momentum. Y'all failed the first time with Swerve and Our Glory against the Acclaimed and that banger of a tag match, and you did it with the second match. Don't wait here. This match doesn't even need to go 30 minutes. I think the ladder match, the Danielson match, and the Okada match are all going at least 20 minutes minimum. Swerve and Joe are going to beat the holy hell out of each other. They've turned up the fire, they've turned up the heat, they've bled blood, so it's going to go down. But Swerve Strickland is walking out as your champion. Now, there's one person you need to factor in, and that is Hater of the Year, Hangman Adam Page. Where is he? Is he going to show up to cost Swerve this match? And we get one more match between these two. I don't want it to happen, but in my back of my mind, I'm like, Hangman's around. He's here. But ultimately, I think Swerve is walking away as your new world champion. So one more time, let's go over the projected winners. Off of 0 Hour, Trent Beretta over Matt Sydal, Shane Taylor, Lee Moriarty over Orange Cassidy and Katsuyori Shibata, and Bullet Club Gold over the Acclaimed to unify the AEW and Ring of Honor Trios championships. For the main card, Roderick Strong to retain the International Championship over Kyle O'Reilly, Hook to retain the FTW Championship over Chris Jericho, the House of Black to defeat Adam Copeland, Mark Briscoe, and Eddie Kingston, Kazuchika Okada to retain the Continental Championship over Pac, Willow Nightingale to defeat Julia Hart and become the new TBS Champion, the Young Bucks to defeat FTR in a ladder match to win the vacant AEW World Tag Team Championships, Brian Danielson to defeat Will Ospreay, Tony Storm to retain the AEW Women's World Championship over Thunder Rosa, and Swerve Strickland to win the AEW World Championship defeating Samoa Joe. Hopefully, I'm right. But that's our show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Come back next week. So what we got? We've got our Dynasty preview. That's today. We've got what just happened on Monday for Dynasty. And then we've got two lists, part three and part four of the worst NXT call-ups. We got Flashback Friday. We'll get some wrestling Reddit content in there. You know, we got the recap every single Sunday. Don't forget to check out the socials, Charismatic Creations on Facebook and YouTube, Charismatic underscore Creations 52 on Instagram, and of course, the 215 on Twitter. As always, Gigi Dolan, Bailey, Chris Statlander, Isla Dawn, Willow Nightingale, and Anna J. Holla at your boy. Peace.